my feeling is that this is not course correction for Silverchair. This is, Silverchair is gone, dead, done, goodbye. You're starting over, probably with Lion Witch in the Wardrobe.
I'm sure there's a lot of people listening now that just have, listening to this, just cringing, going, how could we be talking so lightly about just discarding the Walden movies and saying, or that whole continuity and saying, okay, I guess we're done with that.
Welcome to Talking Beasts.
From NarniaWeb.com.
Where we explore the world of C.S. Lewis.
And keep a watchful eye
on the latest Narnia movie news.
This
is Talking Beasts.
All right, guys, welcome back. I'm Glum Puddle.
And I'm Jim Fan.
You are back just in time, Jim Fan.
In the nick of time.
That's right. This week, NarniaWeb was thrown into chaos when a rumor hit that Netflix is developing a series based on the Chronicles of Narnia. Again, got to emphasize, it's just a rumor. At the time of this recording, we don't know how much truth there is to this report. So if this is true, which is how we're going to proceed with this discussion, just if this is true, it raises all kinds of questions I want to talk to you about, Jim Fan.
I am happy to talk about it.
All right, you're always ready to be of service. We can always rely on you, except for the past two episodes.
Yes. What can
but,
I say?
So some of these we already talked about, I chatted with you on Facebook about, and some of them we kind of disagreed on, though I've kind of come around to your side a little bit, actually quite a bit in the past couple days.
Uh-huh.
But the big question, if this is true, what does this mean for the Silverchair movie? According to the report, E1, which owns the Mark Gordon Company, is still involved. We have not had any news on the Silverchair movie since last November when director Joe Johnston said they hope to begin filming in winter 2018. But like we discussed a few episodes back, at this point, most of us have given up on that actually happening this year. Also, if this Netflix series does happen, which books will they start with? That's what we were talking about a couple days ago on Facebook. Is this just a course correction for the Silver Chair, or will they toss out David McGee's script and start from the beginning and redo the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Maybe the Magician's Nephew, maybe the Last Battle, maybe the Le Fay fragment. I don't know. What are they going to do? we'll get into all that. But first, let's take a look at how NarniWebbers are reacting to this rumor. If you go to the NarniWeb.com homepage, we have a poll that asks, do you want Netflix to produce a Narnia series, with three options, yes, no, and not sure. And at the time of this recording, 34% say yes, another 34% say not sure, and the remaining 32% say no, they don't want that.
Aww.
So right down the middle, really pull, like basically the split three ways very evenly, really polarizing results. And if you skim the comments section of the report I posted and comments in the Talking Beast Facebook group, you can just feel the big crack dividing fans. Let me just read a few of those comments. So Colonel Klink wrote, quote, I'm not really interested in this because we've already had a TV series based on the Narnia books. We've also had several radio dramas and a made-for-TV cartoon. I'd rather there be more movie versions, end quote. Also, Lord Argos wrote, quote, I think that this would be beyond great. The TV show format would give the books the space they need to breathe. And in the end, you would have a much deeper, richer Narnia than individual films would have time to create, end quote. And finally, Josiah wrote, quote, I wouldn't mind having a TV series that complements the new film, but not as a replacement, end quote. So like I said, chaos. Fans are really divided on this one, which brings us to you, Jim Fan. Jim Fan, what do you make of all this?
So I'm not going to lie. When I first saw the whole Netflix maybe doing a Narnia thing, that actually made me feel kind of excited. Just because, A, it's the first thing we've heard in a long time. B, it's a very plausible rumor. Like, I can totally see this happening. And C, I think Netflix is a very reputable company. I think they make good quality content for the most part. I've really enjoyed a lot of the stuff that they've made. So I would feel if they were producing a Narnia series, I know that at the very least, it would be quality. Now, obviously, you need to have a good script and a good artistic team. But in terms of like production value and like time and care spent on something, I would feel very confident with Netflix kind of doing that, because like I said, pretty much everything I've ever watched from them of their original content, I've been very impressed by.
Interesting. So you mentioned the production values. A number of people, including Colonel Klink, have mentioned that as a concern, actually, that they feel that if this is, you know, we've been wanting a feature film, and we've had a few feature films at this point, they feel like going to Netflix is a downgrade.
See,
but you're talking about,
no,
you're excited for the production value. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I wouldn't. I guess where I would start with is I would say, what exactly of Netflix's original content have you watched? Because, like, I'm thinking of Stranger Things. I'm thinking of the Marvel Defenders series, which is, we're talking Daredevil, we're talking Iron Fist, we're talking Jessica Jones. I'm thinking about A Series of Unfortunate Events. I'm thinking about Lost in Space. I'm thinking about a lot of their movies that they've made and produced. All of those are extremely high quality content in terms of production value. Like, they are not sparing dollars. They have A-list actors. They have A-list, you know, screenwriters. They have A-list directors. Just because it's on Netflix, it's the same as it would be anywhere else. It's just that it's on Netflix. It's not in a movie theater. And sometimes that's actually a really, really good thing. Like, think Stranger Things. I don't think Stranger Things would work. Like, as a TV series, it's awesome. And I can't imagine it anywhere else.
Right. Yeah, a few things in there I want to address. Let me first just give my overall thoughts. I'm really excited. I mean, like, I've been wanting this for years. So we did a podcast a few years ago where we spent at least, we were just imagining potential other directions for The Silver Chair, and we just rambled on for half of it about, oh, what if it was a Netflix series? Wouldn't that be cool? And it was sort of a, when I saw this, it was kind of a pinch me moment. It was, is this really happening? And I mean, like, our listeners are probably tired of hearing me yammer on about, oh, why don't they do a Narnia Netflix series or something? But I really didn't think they would. Mainly the reason I didn't think they would is because I thought they just had it in their mindset. And by the way, we still don't know. It's still a rumor at this point, but looks pretty reliable at this point, but we still don't know.
Anything could happen, let's be honest.
Absolutely. But my thinking was that I don't know if it's Gresham or just other people at the estate or if it's just general lack of imagination. I don't know what it is, but I've always had that sense that someone's got it in their head that a Narnia movie has to be basically a Lord of the Rings light, and that's how you do a Narnia movie.
Yeah.
And
no.
So I just felt that I just wonder, have they not even thought about, why don't we do something really different? Why don't we do a much smaller, more intimate movie, appeal to a niche audience? I'll stop there. That's what I've been saying for years now. And so that's kind of what I've been saying. Like, rather than do the whole, a few episodes ago, we talked about having to, you know, fight the creative control versus budget battle, and we speculated that was the reason for the delay with The Silver Chair. It may turn out we were kind of right. They may be saying, okay, we're not going to win this battle. Gresham is saying, I want it to be faithful to the book, and Sony's coming, but I want to have a $100 million budget. And Sony's, maybe they're saying, that, just to recap what we said a few episodes ago, and maybe Sony is sort of saying, sure, we'll give you $100 million to make a Narnia movie if we can have a Jill Eustace romance or something like that. If we can make some compromises to make it more friendly to a mass audience. So that's kind of where I thought the situation was. So I've been saying, let's go to Netflix. Let's choose a smaller, more niche audience. Netflix is great for finding a niche audience, and focus on that rather than having trying to appeal everybody. So, I was really pleasantly surprised. And for the first time in a long time, I'm really kind of, oh my gosh, excited about the possibilities for the future of Narnia adaptations right now. So that's where my attitude's at. You mentioned I want to go back to the budget, because that's a concern that a lot of people are raising. Like, they kind of see this as, we're going to have to settle for a Netflix series, I guess. And you brought up Stranger Things and Lemony Snicket, both of which are pretty good-looking shows. None of them have a CG lion in them, though.
That's true.
So I do think, I think Netflix has produced quality stuff, but I also, and Daredevil too. I mean, but Daredevil feels really restrained, which actually like this about Daredevil. It feels really restrained visually compared to something like The Avengers. You know, it's more low key, which I actually like. I like that. You know what it does when you can't. when you don't have the budget to do big battles, it forces you to have compelling characters and compelling dialogue scenes. That's what I want. So I'm a little concerned about Aslan and some aspects of the production values, but what you gain in return is it forces you to make a better story and better characters, because you can't sell the movie just on the big epic battle scenes. So I'm really, really excited about this. I can't believe it might happen.
So, but what you do is like you said, it forces you to make better choices. Like, you're going to have a very good budget. You're going to spend a lot of it on your Aslan, but then it's going to make you get more creative. Maybe you're going to do a lot more on location shooting, you know, and less like massive CGI battles, and maybe more, like you said, smaller intimate stuff. So I don't really think, I'm not worried about losing anything. I honestly, that is literally the least of my concerns about this going to Netflix.
I'll say, I mean, those of you who are, I'm sure, going to post comments about it and have posted comments about it, that's just a big concern, the budget. And I hear you. I'm not quite as at ease about it as you are, Jim Fan. I do hear those concerns. Really, Aslan. If they didn't have a talking CGI lion in the movie, who, and you can't, I mean, he's not Jaws, like Andrew Adamson said. You can't shoot around him. He's got to, like, really, if you don't sell Aslan as this intimidating presence, this powerful force, it doesn't work.
I guess.
Apart from Aslan, like, that's really my only concern with the production values.
Yeah.
But what you gain in return from that, basically we've gone from one distributor to another here. That's what it said, because E1 is still involved. So basically it sounds like Sony is going to lose their distribution, and now we're going to Netflix as the distributor. Netflix has a really a strong reputation for letting creators, directors just do what they want. So I think we can say with a lot of confidence.
Within reason.
Yeah, especially with how serious Douglas Gresham has been talking about keeping control of the script. I think we can expect the C.S. Lewis estate to have a lot more control over the script. I mean, I trust Netflix a lot more than I trust Sony. I'll say that. At the moment, my biggest fear is that with the C.S. Lewis estate having so much creative control, maybe these will just be so slavishly faithful to the book, they'll be dull, kind of like the BBC versions. Honestly, that's my only really great fear at this point. And as fears go, that's not a terrible one to have.
Right. I think my personal, like, gut feeling is, well, I do think that, like, Netflix does have that good reputation for being a little bit less tight-fisted about things. I'm also not kidding myself. Netflix is an enormous filmmaking company. They, you know, as the years have gone by, they do more and more stuff that gets more critically acclaimed. I think with...
But not as big as Sony.
Not as big as Sony, but it's on the trend upwards. So it would not surprise me if the back end of Netflix is starting to look like, if not already, more like your big blockbuster studio in terms of the kind of money that's being thrown around, the kind of people who are in charge. Like, it's Hollywood. Uh-huh. Hollywood is always going to be Hollywood to an extent.
Sure. I mean, I'm not I think I've written this a few times. I'm not saying that Netflix guarantees a faithful adaptation. But I do think that having Netflix, if we go with Netflix, there are fewer obstacles in the way of a faithful adaptation.
I would agree with. Yes.
Yeah, we'll get into where could they go with this? What is season one of the Chronicles of Narnia look like? But first, I want to clarify: a Netflix original can mean a few different things. There's a true Netflix original, which is House of Cards, The Crown, and A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Oh, yeah, The Crown. That's fantastic. Yeah.
I love The Crown.
Yeah.
And I just started watching House of Cards. That's very good so far, too. I had mixed feelings about Lemony Snicket. mostly not very good feelings. But those are proper original Netflix shows where they developed, produced, and distributed them all completely on their own. Then there's ones where they didn't necessarily develop or produce them, but they do have the exclusive distribution rights.
Right.
And that's Peaky Blinders, that's The Fall, that's VeggieTales in the House, another example I'll just throw out there. then there's other ones that are a continuation of an existing property. For example, Arrested Development and Star Wars Clone Wars. Those are things that existed for a while somewhere else, and then Netflix just took the reins eventually. So this is probably something that would be more in line, because we know that E1, which has been developing the Silver Chair for a while, we know that E1 is still involved. That tells me this is more like that middle category, like The Fall, where E1 will produce it. Netflix will simply be the sole distributor of it. I'm not saying they'll have zero creative control, but I think what we're looking at is the same studio, but we just switched distributors now. So for me personally, now clarify in the comments section if I'm missing something, but from my point of view, for those who are concerned about Netflix, like I don't understand feeling that we're better off with Sony than Netflix. For me personally, it's a no-brainer. I'm not saying that Netflix is a guaranteed awesome, but I definitely think we're better off with them than Sony.
Yeah.
Like the big giant Hollywood studio that frankly Sony doesn't have a great track record. Yeah. I just feel like there's way more opportunity to make this great with Netflix. There's that small production budget issue, which I am a little concerned about, but on the whole, I'm feeling so much better.
But I mean, if E1 is still producing it, then I mean, I guess you are getting money from Netflix to aid in the producing, but it wouldn't be that huge of a difference if it's the same where E1 is making it and Sony is giving money and distributing it.
It is a lower budget. There's no question. Yeah. It'll be a significantly lower budget probably than what they were thinking. And I'm just speculating because of the hiring of Joe Johnston. That's been my attitude about The Silver Chair, is they want a big blockbuster movie just like the other ones. And so I think this probably is Gresham kind of conceding and saying, or Gresham of the Seals, who's to say, Mark Gordon Company, whoever's making the call, saying, okay, we can't make the movie we want to make for the budget we want. Let's go to Netflix.
Yes and no.
Which kind of brings us to the question we were talking about a few days ago.
I think I know what you're segueing into.
Yeah. So my initial gut reaction was that, oh, this is course correction for The Silver Chair. That, okay, they're going to do The Silver Chair as a Netflix series. Cool. And that's not how you felt. So, Jim Fan, and I've wised up a little bit. I've come closer to you in the past couple of days. But what do you think is next for Narnia? Assuming that these Netflix rumors are true.
Okay, so basically, when I read this news, my understanding, my feeling of this is that, okay, it's been a year since we've heard anything about this Silver Chair movie. My feeling is that this is not course correction for Silver Chair. This is Silver Chair is gone, dead, done, goodbye. Like this is
for the foreseeable future.
For the foreseeable future. This is starting over fresh with new people, new company. If it's a TV series, you're not picking up. Like it doesn't make sense to me why you would just like completely redo the entire way that you're doing this franchise in a new format. Like, you're starting over, probably with Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, which I would not be mad at.
Dun, 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 dun.
But anyway, that's my feeling. Like, my feeling is Silverchair is done, and this is something new. And it might be Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe. It might be something else. I don't know. But it's not Silverchair.
So we're going to see him. So you're saying, so we don't have to, you know, in whenever talking about is the Silverchair a reboot, whenever we've been talking about that, it's always been, well, it depends on what you mean by reboot. We have to put like a few asterisks after it and say, well, in a sense, it's a reboot, but in a sense, it's not. With this one, there's no ambiguity. It's a reboot. It's a new Narnia universe, new filmmakers. We're totally emptying the playing field and starting from
honestly,
scratch and essentially pretending the other ones never happened.
I really prefer it that way. Like, let the three be what they were. As much as you love them or hate them or just are indifferent, like, let that be what it was, and let's just start over. Let's do something new.
Yeah. With me, my attitude towards the reboot has always kind of been, like, I imagine they were going with Silver Chair in the first place because, number one, they were thinking, it might be difficult to raise the funds we want. We should try to, the Silver Chair is the Narnia book out of all of them that's probably the easiest to make on a lower budget. That's why I think the Silver Chair is the best of the BBC versions. And also because it bridges the gap. Like, you can start, the Silver Chair feels like a fresh start to the series for a number of ways. Jill Pohl's a brand new character, and she's the main character. She's new to all this. She has to have things explained to her all the time. I felt that it was sort of, it's almost like Dr. Ransom's pointed out in here before, it's sort of C.S. Lewis's dark, gritty reboot of the Chronicles of Narnia with it right in the middle of the series. I thought it was a good way of, we're still continuing the old franchise, so we're keeping those old fans happy, but we can kind of say we're starting a new one too, so we can keep the new fans happy too, and we can sort of promote it as its own thing, but also keep those old fans happy at the same time. So that's kind of been my attitude. So for me, especially with the budget concerns, which I'm not nearly as concerned about the budget as Colonel Klink is and a lot of our listeners, but I'm a little more concerned about it than you are, though. So I'm kind of in between you guys. So in my mind, Silver Chair still seemed like if you're starting a Netflix series, it still seemed like a decent candidate, a decent way to go. And okay, you can still bring in those people that really, many of which listen to this podcast, that really enjoyed those Walden movies and would like to see it continue in one form or another, but also find a new audience. So that was my thinking. So I didn't think it sounded so far-fetched. I still think it's a possibility. Maybe they'll, though, even if they do, I think Joe Johnson's probably gone. I think David McGee's script is probably gone either way. I think this is a new thing. After talking to my brother, after thinking about it for a couple of days, I think you're probably right. The most likely thing to happen is we'll see them start completely over with the line, The Witch in the Wardrobe, and just start fresh. That seems like, in my mind, it's sort of, you were saying, how many Spider-Man reboots have there been? But still, in my mind, it's, yeah, but Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, a lot of people, it wasn't, you know, Lord of the Rings level, sorry for the comparison, but, you know, it was a commercially successful film, and most people liked it, and most people would have semi-fond memories of it.
Yeah, I don't think you have to feel like there's something wrong with the original, quote unquote, to want to remake it. Like, there's not, in my personal opinion, there's nothing wrong with the original Spider-Man, but, you know, people want to.
That was a pure cash grab. That's one of the most shameless cash grabs of the recent memory in Hollywood, to reboot Spider-Man with the Andrew Garfield version.
Because people still want to watch it. You know, people like it. It's a franchise that you can just do lots of different things with, and you can do different takes, and you can make it more emo, and you can make it more youthful, and you can make it more cheesy. Like, you can do whatever you want. So it's just doing different things with it.
But so that's an example. Yeah, that's a good example where the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie that came out in 2002, people liked that movie and had fond memories of it. And I do think when the Andrew Garfield movie came around, it was kind of, really, they're doing this again? I mean, I kind of wonder, now again, Narnia, with Andrew Garfield, it was a break of about 5 or 6 years between the end of the Tobey Maguire franchise and the start of the new one. With this one, let's say 13, 14, 15 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time, so yeah, movie time.
That's how far we've come. Now that feels like kind of a long time, but not that long ago. It would have been, what are you talking about? You just made one 15 years ago. You can't make another one yet. You got to wait another generation or two.
I mean, think about it. Like, even if they are rebooting the Narnia series, it's going to be at least, I don't know, 2 years before we see it.
True.
You know? So, like,
true.
Keep adding more time to it.
See, I think people have fond memories of it, and they largely remember Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Most people I talk to, most normal people that aren't Narnie Webbers, you know, you ask them about the Narnie movies, and they'll say, oh, yeah, I remember the first one with, you know, the wardrobe. That was pretty good. Oh, wait, did they make any others after that? That's usually kind of where the conversation goes. But so to me, it's commercially speaking, I'm just going to play, again, I think after thinking about it, I think you're probably right. Commercially speaking, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is probably the way to go. But to play devil's advocate for a second, don't you think it might just be the reaction from the public being, oh, they're making Wardrobe again? Like, that just not being that exciting to them. They had one they saw several years ago and they liked it and it was fine. Maybe that's not something that they would get people all excited just because they've already done it. So it's almost where, yes, the iconic book in the series. No doubt. That's like well over half of the Narnia books that are sold are The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah.
But it's almost like since it's already been done, I feel like there might be less enthusiasm about it.
Perhaps, but I think it depends on how they go about it and how they present it. If this is very clearly like this is going to be an ongoing thing, they're going to get through all of the books, you know, over the course of 5 years, you know, however many years they take to make all
of the books. It would be quicker. It'd definitely be quicker than if they did movies to do a Netflix series.
I think that is really what would get people. Like, I don't like, pardon me for bringing up a series of unfortunate events again, but like, that was a movie first. And then they were like, okay, well, the movie only got up to this point and it was like so successful, whatever. Let's do it again.
Did not do very well.
And let's do all of it. And I mean, I always thought that those books should have been a TV show in the first place. Like, I don't think it really made a good movie in format, not content, but format. Mm-hmm.
Right. And then Netflix decided, rather than pick up where the movie left off, let's start from scratch.
Exactly. So you just start over and you know, okay, because this is a Netflix series, it's got a 3-year deal or whatever, they're going to get through all of it. And so you start watching, you're like, I feel confident in watching this because I know I'm going to get to see this through completion.
Yeah, I definitely think that, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening now that just have her listening to this is cringing going, how could we be talking so lightly about just discarding the Walden movies and saying, or that whole continuity and saying, okay, I guess we're done with that.
Guys, it's been done. It's been done for years. Like, that ship sailed.
But a long you know, time ago. I'm kind of with you, but still, the silver chair, look, yes, okay, Will Poulter, that's about it. That's the only kind of lingering. The silver chair is a clean start. You could continue the story even several years later. You got one main character. Basically, I know there's Aslan's voice and Trumpkin or whatever, but one character that would be like kind of distractingly different.
It's a totally different team. It's a totally different everything. Like, there is no continuity except that it's Narnia.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the reason why the fact that it's been several years since the Voyage of the Dawn Treader movie. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Who cares it's been that long? Like, I'm saying that's why I don't see it as the Walden movies are definitely, or that continuity is definitely done and buried because it's been so long. The Silver Chair is such an organically fresh start for the series. You could pick it up without it being all that jarring.
You could, but...
And I think there's people listening now who have been looking forward to David McGee's screenplay. We had David McGee on this podcast talking about saying some really interesting things that sounded very promising. And now it's just, if this is true and if they just go with the total reboot route, it's just nope to all of that. I can understand that people that have been really excited about that to be really disheartened by this. But, you know, they would certainly make these a lot quicker if they get going than they would. Let's say the first season comes out in 2 years from now. So Lemony Snicket had the first season, I think, in 2016. Then the second season, I think the year after that.
It's
usually
been about a year
apart,
roughly. Like, they're always pretty, like, vague about the release dates. But it's usually about a year apart-ish.
You figure it's two book. Now, maybe I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit. But you figure it's two books a season. So we could be done with these... We could be done with the series in like
two books a season. Wow, that's pretty fast.
Well, let's jump into that right now. How do you see it?
Oh, I mean, you've got each episode is 45 minutes to an hour. You have at least 8 episodes in a season. I mean, maybe you could.
I mean, so you're picturing just, maybe I haven't thought it through, but I mean, I don't see an 8-hour adaptation of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
That's true. Or you could go shorter episodes, but do it all in one season.
But Netflix,
you know.
I mean, that would be, Netflix doesn't tend to do that. Their episodes are 45 minutes to an hour.
That's true. Okay.
So I think, in the case of Lemony Snicket, they did, now those are shorter books, but they did 4 books per season, right?
Yeah, 2 episodes a book.
Yeah, they split each book into 2 episodes. So they did 4 books totaling 8 episodes for the first season. So let's figure 8 episodes. So I think what seems more likely is they'll do season 1 of The Chronicles of Narnia will be Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and Prince Caspian, where you have 3 or 4 episodes per book. What you get there is the continuing characters. Which is, that's another big appeal for a series is people like that. Well, we got to be able to give them more. So going back to the Pevensies, it's probably a really appealing idea for Netflix. So I think we get Wardrobe and Caspian for season one, and then season two is Dawn Treader and Silver Chair. By the way, Dawn Treader just about could work as a, you know, 6 to 8 episode season.
Oh yeah,
on its own,
for sure. No green mist.
Well, there you go. But I mean, episode one can be the Lone Islands. Episode two is Dragon Island. Episode three
is
Deathwater.
It's a very episodic book.
Yeah,
so
as we've talked about.
Yes,
it's,
so many times.
It's been almost a decade now, but we've talked about that. Another way to go, and you already mentioned it, would be Magician's Nephew. So what if you did Magician's Nephew in Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe as the first season?
How badly would you hate it if they went in chronological order? Because I think that could be a very real possibility. Because otherwise, I don't understand how you could fit, like, you could tag on, like, do Magician's Nephew, Horse's Boy, and then go all the way to the last battle. I feel like, in terms of, like, series continuity, it doesn't really work. But it works if you kind of do them in chronological order and you tie them into each other a bit more.
Right. As much as I would hate to kind of perpetuate the whole chronological order thing, that's probably the best thing the Walden movies have done for Narnia's legacy looking forward, is they've cemented like, when I'm trying to talk people into, who are, you know, people who are reading the Narnia books for the first time, and I'm trying to say, no, ignore the numbers on the spine. I'm telling you, the one that says 2 on it, read that one first. And they look at me like I'm a crazy person. But it's easy for me to say, well, you see, you know how they made the Wardrobe movie first, and then Caspian, and then Dawn Treader? And it gives publication order some legitimacy to new readers.
It didn't need its legitimacy, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, yeah, among new readers, yes, you know, like, people look at me like I'm a total weirdo when I tell them to ignore the numbers on the spines. So as much as that would annoy me as a fan on some level, also, I don't know, like, to see a Magician's Nephew adaptation from Netflix would be exciting to me. Now, that is one thing where that does kind of seem like it would require a Lord of the Rings budget to really nail, but I could be wrong. Just the creation of Narnia, maybe they can do something really creative with stop motion or something, but that's got to be epically awesome. But I think that, I mean, as a fan, I like what Netflix has done, and I love The Magician's Nephew, and I would just get excited to see that. And what I was saying before about, I think it would help solve the problem of people who, you know, maybe their first reaction to hearing that Netflix is doing The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe again, like, that's the kind of their first reaction is, oh, really? They're redoing that? The excitement level isn't quite there. But if you say, if the trailer is really focused on, you're going to see the origin of the White Witch, the origin of the Wardrobe, if that's kind of the hook, that might be more intriguing. So I think that's a possibility that we'll see Magician's Nephew and Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is season one.
Netflix, are you listening? We've just solved all your problems.
Right. I mean, they stole, by the way, this was NarniaFans.com's April Fool's joke, that there was going to be a Narnia Netflix series.
Well, that's a great April Fool's joke.
So for those keeping score at home, like I talked about in the Facebook group, in the April Fool's Jokes Coming True race, the score is Narnia Web 2, Narnia Fans 1. assuming this actually happens, of course.
I hope it's true. But anyway, time will tell.
Yep. Speaking of time, we've been going for over 30 minutes now.
Ooh,
so,
boy. See, I knew we had so much to talk about.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's just like there's just a trend for big TV series that are just super well produced and have fantasy element, because you can really give it a lot more, you can flesh it out a lot more in a TV series than in a movie. You're confined to like 2.5 to 3 hours. Like Hobbit, that didn't work. Like it should have,
but
it didn't.
But was very successful financially.
It was, but like, you know, Hobbit would have been, maybe would have been better as a TV series. I don't know. But anyway.
Well, that's something that some people have voiced concerns about as well. I mean, this will be kind of the last point. Like the comment we read at the beginning of this episode, Lord Argos said the TV show format would give the books the space to breathe, and you could have a much deeper, richer Narnia than individual films have time to create. Now, Lord Argos was presenting that in a positive light, but Riedian was saying she was concerned they're going to add stuff. I mean, what if they do say, yeah, let's do an 8-episode season one is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe split up into 8 episodes. So they're just trying to come up with ways, kind of like what I think they did with the Hobbit movies, just trying to flesh out anything they can.
I think
that could be bad too.
Yeah, I think some books could get that. I think others wouldn't, just because they're a lot more content packed. Like Prince Caspian, no matter how you slice it, like that's probably, it's always been the prime candidate for that sort of thing. I could see Last Battle getting a lot more fleshed out, so it's not just set over like, what is it, 3 days or something. It gets more to it. So you like some things would, some things wouldn't. Am I worried it's going to get the Peter Jackson Hobbit treatment? Not super likely. Not super worried about that. But, you know, it all depends on the people around it. Like, if they're people that are good people and they love the material and they do good things with it, it's going to be good.
Yeah, for me, that's kind of represents, that's the low point for me. That's the low point of my expectations. My fear on the negative side is, is this going to be so bloated to try to squeeze every single thing from the book in, every single word of dialogue, and it just becomes basically kind of like the BBC versions. Now, I know there's people listening that like those a lot. Thanks for listening. but it just becomes bloated and overdone and also just slavishly faithful to the book in a way that's boring. Look, just make a good movie. Make a good TV series. Just do what's necessary for that. That's the low part of my expectations, which that's not bad. That's kind of my worst case scenario. I'm really excited for this. I have really high expectations for the next Narnia adaptation for the first time since maybe like shortly after Prince Caspian was released. Since before Disney left Narnia, I've got high expectations and hopes for the future of Narnia. So there are definitely some things I'm concerned about, I've mentioned, but overall I'm feeling really excited about this. I hope that this rumor is true. We don't know that it is right now.
Fingers crossed.
Oh, so I'm excited, but it's such a divisive issue. So I'm sure that approximately 2/3 of our listeners totally disagree with us. So please post comments and tell us just how wrong we are.
You do that. We'll be waiting.
All right. Let me read the outro here and then we're done. You've been listening to Talking Beasts, a NarniWeb.com podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. And be sure to subscribe and post a comment below or in the Talking Beasts Facebook group. You can also email us at podcast@NarniWeb.com, jimfan15@NarniWeb.com, or glumpuddle@NarniWeb.com. For the latest news on the silver... Oh, I can't read that one.
For the latest news on Narnia...
For the latest Narnia adaptation news, visit NarniWeb.com. And by the way, this was a special episode. We are just going to put out there really quickly in response to this rumor because everybody was talking about it. Moving forward, unless there is more news, a new episode of Talking Beasts will be posted on the 7th and 17th of each month. So we are going to be back on October 7th, if not sooner. We'll see if news breaks. Until then, further up and further in.